Hello, this is Jeff Barnum reading the Supreme Court syllabus in Muldrow v. City of St. Louis, Missouri, et al. Certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. Argued December 6, 2023. Decided April 17, 2024. Sergeant Jatanya Claiborne Muldrow maintains that her employer, the St. Louis Police Department, transferred her from one job to another because she is a woman. From 2008 through 2017, Muldrow worked as a plainclothes officer in the department's Specialized Intelligence Division. In 2017, the new Intelligence Division commander asked to transfer Muldrow out of the unit so he could replace her with a male police officer. Against Muldrow's wishes, the department approved the request and reassigned Muldrow to a uniform job elsewhere in the department. While Muldrow's rank and pay remain the same in the new position, her responsibilities, perks, and schedule did not. After the transfer, Muldrow no longer worked with high-ranking officials on departmental priorities lodged in the Intelligence Division, instead supervising the day-to-day activities of neighborhood patrol officers. She also lost access to an unmarked take-home vehicle and had a less regular schedule involving weekend shifts. Muldrow brought this Title VII suit to challenge the transfer. She alleged that the city, in ousting her from the Intelligence Division, had discriminated against her based on sex with respect to the terms or conditions of her employment. The district court granted the city summary judgment. The Eighth Circuit affirmed, holding that Muldrow had to, but could not, show that the transfer caused her a materially significant disadvantage. Muldrow's lawsuit could not proceed, the court said, because the transfer did not result in a diminution to her title, salary, or benefits, and had caused only minor changes in working conditions. Held. An employee challenging a job transfer under Title VII must show that the transfer brought about some harm with respect to an identifiable term or condition of employment, but that harm need not be significant. Title VII makes it unlawful for an employer to fail or refuse to hire or to discharge any individual or otherwise to discriminate against any individual with respect to his compensation, terms, conditions, or privileges of employment because of such individual's sex. Both parties agree that Muldrow's transfer implicated terms and conditions of Muldrow's employment. The applicable statutory language thus prohibits discriminating against an individual with respect to the terms or conditions of employment because of that individual's sex. That language requires Muldrow to show that her transfer brought about some disadvantageous change in an employment term or condition. The words discriminate against, the court has explained, refer to differences in treatment that injure employees. In the typical transfer case, that worse treatment must be with respect to employment terms or conditions. The terms or conditions phrase is not used in the narrow contractual sense. It covers more than the economic or tangible. Still, the phrase circumscribes the injuries that can give rise to a suit like this one. To make out a Title VII discrimination claim, a transferee must show some harm respecting an identifiable term or condition of employment. What the transferee does not have to show is that the harm incurred was significant or otherwise exceeded some heightened bar. Discriminate against means treat worse, here based on sex. Neither that phrase nor any other establishes an elevated threshold of harm. To demand significance is to add words to the statute Congress enacted. It is to impose a new requirement on a Title VII claimant, so that the law as applied demands something more than the law as written. That difference can make a real difference for complaining transferees. By asking whether the harm to the transferee is significant, appellate courts have disregarded varied kinds of disadvantage. The city's three main arguments, based on statutory text, precedent, and policy, do not justify the use of a significance standard. The court rejects the city's textual claim, which invokes the eustem generis canon, the idea that a general phrase following an enumeration of things should be read to encompass only things of the same basic kind. Applying that canon to the text of Title VII's anti-discrimination provision, The city claims that because refusing to hire or discharging a person causes a significant disadvantage, the otherwise to discriminate against phrase can apply only to things causing an equal level of harm. But the statutory text itself provides a different shared trait. Each kind of prohibited discrimination occurs by way of an employment action, whether pertaining to hiring or firing or compensating or, as here, altering terms or conditions through a transfer. That is more than sufficient basis to unite the provision's several parts and avoid a justum generis problems. Contrary to the city's view, there is also no reason to import a significant harm requirement from this court's decision in Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railway Company versus White, a Supreme Court case from 2006. The court there held that Title VII's anti-retaliation provision, which prohibits an employer from taking action against an employee for bringing or aiding a Title VII charge, applies only when the retaliatory action is materially adverse, meaning that it causes significant harm. White adopted that standard for reasons peculiar to the retaliation context. The test was meant to capture those employer actions serious enough to dissuade a reasonable worker from making or supporting a charge of discrimination. An action causing less serious harm will not deter Title VII enforcement, and so falls outside the purposes of the ban on retaliation. But that reasoning does not apply to the anti-discrimination provision, which flatly prevents injuries to individuals based on protected status, without distinguishing between significant and less significant harms. Finally, there is reason to doubt the city's prediction that employees will flood courts with litigation in the absence of a significant injury requirement. Courts retain multiple ways to dispose of meritless Title VII claims challenging transfer decisions. But even supposing the city's worst predictions come true, that would be the result of the statute Congress drafted. This court will not add words to the statute to achieve what the city thinks is a desirable result. The courts below applied the wrong standard to Muldrow's suit. Muldrow need show only some injury respecting her employment terms or conditions. Her allegations, if properly preserved and supported, meet that test with room to spare. The court recognizes, however, that the decisions below may have rested in part on issues of forfeiture and proof. The court leaves such matters for the courts below to address on remand under the proper Title VII standard. Vacated and remanded. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion of the court, in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Sotomayor, Gorsuch, Barrett, and Jackson joined. Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, and Justice Kavanaugh each filed an opinion concurring in the judgment. Thank you for listening. Please help us by rating and reviewing this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you subscribe so you can get all of the OT23 decisions automatically delivered to your device. If you wish to communicate with the podcast, please email us at scotusdecisions@gmail.com.